I want to to start with, I want to just give a testimony, and this is out of experience. I'm not fond of testimonies other than the testimony of Jesus, of course. But out of the school of experience, sometimes there are things that, and it is on my mind this morning, you know, we're, especially in regards to praying for Lisa and the situation there, and just about the having and standing in faith. And I believe very much that I sense this ground is stood on by Lisa and by Keith. But years, many years ago, when my wife was so severely laid up with Mark, and we were praying, we were seeking the Lord, and you know, and there was, she was hemorrhaging very frequently. And I didn't have thus saith the Lord on anything on that. I stood, my ground was God is for life. He knows nothing else. But in my experience in that, and as the things got medically more and more severe, and there were more and more problems coming out of it, sometimes we can, you know, I had a pretty good, it dawned on me, a pretty good picture of what was going to happen. In the natural, things left, you know, what could I expect out of a pregnancy with these hemorrhages? And what became obvious to me was that one day this will happen and we won't have support and I shall lose her. And so I had to assimilate that into how I was dealing with things. And part of the reason, you know, that was a very real thing to me, and partly because as a young boy growing up, I worked on a farm. The farm had sheep. We used to tremendously enjoy lambing season. And we'd have hundreds of lambs, and we'd go and, you know, and be very involved in that. But numbers of times, we would be there at lambing, and you get this lamb born, and then the ewe would hemorrhage. There's nothing you could do about it. You just watch it die. Powerless, you know. And so as I was dealing with that experience with Judy and thinking about that, one day I was driving down the road, and the Lord asked me a question very, not audibly, but it was very apparent that it was him. And he said, will you love me anyway, no matter which way this goes? And as I stopped and I contemplated that, because I sensed that was a very important question. You know, sometimes we come to a wall in faith and we have to stand there and we have to say, well, this is where it is. And so I said, well, yes, even though I had two small kids already, you know, and, you know, was hopelessly unprepared for a life of singleness with two small kids and everything. But I figured God will be faithful. And in that, my answer was, of course. And I felt like I had to lay that down without, again, having stood in faith, having realized, you know, faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see, and all that, there comes a point where we lay things down. And I laid that down to him. After that, there was a tremendous release in the spirit. He was free to do whatever he wanted to, and he was very gracious. The day that amazing hemorrhage happened, we happened to be in hospital. And by the provision of the medical facility there, but by his timing, I still have Judy. We still have Judy with us today. Now, faith, sometimes you have to stand there with nothing else to look at. It's perfectly safe ground in the Lord. Faith always requires open hands. But we are looking for a very mighty and powerful, to a very mighty and powerful God. And he is able, more than able. So, anyway, having said that, I now want to change gear a little bit. Okay, is that better? A little piece of scripture here that caught my attention a little while ago, and where it says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God," and that comes out of Colossians. And I got thinking about that, and there's another thing that we are hidden with Christ, like we're not hidden in Christ. You know, what does that mean? What is that? Lex, a number of weeks ago now, was sharing out of Romans, Romans 6 and 7. And there is a tremendous transformation between 7 and 8 here, where, of course, it's Paul. And in 7:24, he's lamenting, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then all of a sudden we're in chapter 8. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, that is an amazing paradigm shift. All of a sudden, something happens there. But in the text, it gives us a bare bones account, but it doesn't really tell us. There's this transformation of Paul. You know, here he is, he's laboring, and all of a sudden, he's set free. And so, one of I'm like, well, what happened there? You know, we're standing on one side of the mountain looking at it, and then all of a sudden we're on the other side of the mountain riding down the freeway. What happened to the mountain? You know, what is this that has gone on here? There is a big change there. And so as I was thinking about this more, as I came back to Colossians, there is a little verse here in 2. "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, that describes forgiveness. We have been made alive with him, and that appears to go along with the Romans passage. But what caught my attention was this: having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And this is I want to just paint a picture here. And this is really the essence of the new covenant. We change covenants, don't we? The handwriting that's against us. Now, there are various books mentioned throughout Scripture. In Revelation you have the openings of the books and the judgment for the books. In the Great White Throne Judgment, the books are opened, and then the Book of Life is opened, isn't it? And there are judgments according to works there, which probably is going to go pretty poorly. And then there's the opening of the Book of Life. And it states very clearly there that anybody's name not found in the Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire. You know, that's... But there is also another judgment, isn't there? There is the judgment seat of Christ. If we were to go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there is another judgment here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, I kind of like, this is the New King James, it is written in the regular King James and other places, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body. Now that kind of changes the picture, doesn't it? You know, so suppose for a moment, and I'm not going to preach doctrine out of that, but that is his body. We are his body, aren't we, in the church. So that's interesting, but these are our judgments, aren't they? But let's go back to Colossians, where we have a judgment here. The handwriting requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us, he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So if we think of handwriting, that might be in various forms and it doesn't tell us, but when I think of that, we have the Old Covenant, don't we? And we have the law. And we very much in society at large and in our relationships, that governs a lot of things, doesn't it? The Ten Commandments are still very much a bedrock of society and whatever, but maybe if we look at things from the Heavenly Father's perspective, it says, Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, there are requirements against us that have been wiped out. So supposing, for instance, let me take it for example, Paul. Suppose we set up jury and we're going to try Paul here. And so he is going to be accused in the court of law, I think of your family because your son's into this. And so somebody's got to make a case against Paul. Well, we'll ask Kathy to do that. She lives with him. She'll have oodles of stuff on Paul. It'll be great, you know. So we sit down to have a trial, you know, and then they come before the judge, and he says, well, you can make your case, but it's got to be on what I say, not what you say. So if you can use the words of God to accuse, then it works. So you get out and we say, well, this should be easy. Ten Commandments, there's a lot of ground there. We can nail this. So you take the book of the law and you open it up and it's not there. It's gone. The handwriting is gone. There can be no accusation. So, to put this out of the family context, but in the light of the heavenly context, there is an accuser of the brethren who accuses them day and night. So one day there will be a court case. This is a picture, obviously, a court case in heaven. And he will come up to accuse the saints, but he doesn't have a book to accuse. There's nothing. He can come up with his own ideas. He can say whatever he wants. But there is no ground. So therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The book's gone. And it's in this passage, it carries on here. Having taken out the way, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. This is the work of the Lord Jesus. So all of a sudden, they come up with their big case, and they look utterly foolish, because the ground is totally gone. They're trying to accuse the believers. There's nothing left to accuse. There is no footing, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Well, wandering back across the page, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that look like? And if I was to have to paint a picture of that, there's a hymn that we sing, I Come to the Garden Alone. And it's a beautiful hymn, and it has a connotation, but also a very beautiful meaning. And if I was to describe it this way, we go from walking and being able to be accused by the enemy to standing on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hidden life, what is that? That has to be life in the Spirit of life within us. So we are free to walk according to the Spirit of the Lord within us. We are free to trust him. There is no more condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what are the qualities of this new life? It is life in the Spirit. It is love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, long-suffering. It's all those things, isn't it? That is the life in the Spirit. The quality is, we're free. Oh, wretched man that I am doesn't cut it anymore. That's the past, isn't it? We are free to live in relationship with the Lord, free of all that. He has set us free. The past only matters if there are accusers who can accuse us. And some, you know, and the enemy, these principalities and powers have been disarmed. They no longer have any ammunition. The book has been opened and there's nothing in it. The accuser of the brethren doesn't have anything to say because the book's been taken out of the way. He has no ground. And we are free. And the Lord Jesus has given us this life in the Spirit to walk in, to enjoy. This is Christian freedom. This is the freedom, the life I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. So, I like the term blotted out, because if you think of the handwriting of the law and the blood of Christ, his blood blots that out. It brings freedom to us. We are free to live, to walk in the Spirit, and to enjoy his presence. And so in summing up, I would say, look after the garden. Tend what is in it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your relationship with the Lord. And cultivate it. And with his people. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the tremendous freedom that you have given us in yourself. We thank you that no one can condemn us but you. And there's no one who can bring condemnation because we have been set free to walk in your Spirit. Lord, we just help us to walk fully according to your Holy Spirit in the life of the Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.